My guest for health and wellness today is a man who has fascinating insights into the link between our brains and our bodies and how they work together to help us achieve the goals in our hearts. Dr. Laurie Rach is a Constantia neurobiologist and adjunct senior lecturer in the neurobiology of exercise and sports medicine at the University of Cape Town. His own life was profoundly changed by a near fatal accident in 1997, and his journey back to physical and mental health influenced not only his personal life, but also his professional research, because it really caused him to focus in on the heart-mind connection and the role that stress and nervous energy can play in keeping us from reaching our goals. He went on to found the Calm Foundation in 2018 to build on his belief that the ability to calm our nerves and to focus our minds is crucial to achieving any goal in life, especially in the world we inhabit today, full of distractions and instant gratification messaging. And he's recently published a book called Keeping Calm: How to Master Your Brain Reward System to Optimize Your Health, Well-being and Performance. It's a great pleasure to welcome him to the show today. Thank you so much for joining us, Laurie.
Hi, thank you very much for inviting me, Pippa.
It's a great pleasure. I think we must start, Laurie, with a brief summary of what you went through in 1997. There you were, 30 years old, a high-performance athlete, busy training for the World Ironman Champs in Hawaii, hoping not just to do well, but with a goal in your head of winning the event. And then in an instant, life as you knew it was changed forever. Tell us briefly what happened.
Yeah, just to bring Laurie back to earth, I wasn't training for Why I was training for SA Championships,
okay,
the triathlon. So it wasn't for Why Ironman, but yeah, I was as you say, I was doing a PhD. I was 30 years old, so the final year of my PhD, and I went for a training ride from Cape Town to Amanus, and on the way back I was knocked by a container truck. Now this container truck was going like way over 100 kilometers an hour, and I was probably going about 30 kilometers an hour. So, the first injury I sustained was, whiplash when the truck hit me from the back. Broke my neck at C3. Then I went into my handlebars. It ripped my lung and diaphragm from the broken ribs. Went over the handlebars and I fell on my head and on my back. I sustained a very severe traumatic brain injury. And I also broke the three vertebrae in my back. I surfed in the tarmac by 30 meters, all the skin off my back. And all my internal organs took a pounding. And, I was lying next to the road there, without being able to breathe because my neck was broken. I was almost comatose, and the ambulance got there in 6 minutes. So it was a miracle that, The ambulance got there in time to give me oxygen.
Laurie, the injuries were devastating, and you ended up losing a leg to amputation. For a while, you thought that you were facing a diagnosis of possible quadriplegia. Thankfully, that was not the case, but you did spend weeks on a ventilator. You faced long, long, grueling rehabilitation to learn how to walk with a prosthetic leg. That's just the physical impact. The mental impact of this injury and of the rehabilitation was equally devastating for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would say even more so. I mean, because I was an athlete, it was a natural fit for me to, and it's actually a challenge, to regain my fitness. Although everything had changed, my brain had changed because of the severe brain injury. My spinal cord had changed because of the spinal injury. I had no right leg. So everything was different. And I found it was the mental edge I needed to change. I operated in high gear. I trained for, say, about 30 hours a week before my accident for SA Champs Triathlon. But I found that I needed extra gear because 30 hours a week, what I put in at 30 hours a week is almost Mickey Mouse compared to what I needed, the energy I needed now. So it was all, as you say, it was the mental aspect was the most important.
So much so, part of your recovery involved being admitted to the psychiatric ward at Groote Schuur to be treated for depression. You spent weeks there, and your description of how the mental recovery was even harder than the physical recovery is one of the most really telling things to read about in this book, and particularly, Laurie, how it then fed into your research, because within a year you were back at UCT, you picked up your studies, you managed to finish your PhD, but you'd realized along the way that you wanted to shift and broaden the focus of those studies, whereas before you'd been focused a lot on how a high-performance athlete performs and what it is about moving their body that allows them to do that. You've obviously had developed in the process of your own recovery an interest in the mental role and how the brain needs to work with the body to block out some of the inner eliminate body messaging that's been laid down as part of our fundamental survival mechanisms. Now, in the book, you talk a lot about the mammalian brain versus the primate brain. Can you try and summarize in quite simple layman's terms for our audience briefly what you mean by those two and what role they play in our bodies?
Yeah, it's actually very straightforward. If you think your head equilibrates your primate brain and your heart is your mammalian brain. So just very briefly, your mammalian brain is your here and now survival. Just your basic, cover your basic needs, which is number one is your defensive, number two is ingestive, and number three is productive. So that's your mammalian brain, the behavior, where your primate brain is your vision of the future, running your life, you know, building the life you want for yourself, becoming the person you want to be. Those are all anticipatory things. So you can think future, and then mammalian brain is here and now. And you can best pick it up in your heart. So I always put it on the heart wants to be comforted. The heart needs comfort, and the brain needs a vision. And those two things have got to align all the time, the comfort in your heart and the vision of where you're going. So that's really what my science started to explore, is how to align those two. And I really struggled with that, I must tell you. That was my biggest struggle, to align my heart to my head after my accident, because before it was easy because I was a natural athlete. I did sports science. I was, you know, in 5 years' time, whatever, I wanted to do the Ironman. So I was just, everything was just performance, 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 high performance, ultra-endurance performance. So everything clicked, you know, my head, my heart, it was all there. But after my accident, everything was shattered. There was no connection anywhere. So I had to slowly rebuild. And, so that's really sort of what I had to figure out, how to reconnect my head and my heart. So the mammalian brain is your heart, and your primate brain is your head.
And those two are not always sort of working in sync. Laurie, as you write and explain in the book, sometimes, you know, those innate basic survival mechanisms try to kick in when our brain is telling them to do something risky, for example, and the body might be saying, no, 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 this is too much, this is not safe, my defensive mechanisms are wanting to stop you doing this, whereas your brain is going, you've got this, you know how to do this, you want to give this a try, and finding a way to make those two work in sync with one another rather than sort of being stumbling blocks to one another is a lot of what your research has looked into. Now, you write, I mean, the book is called Keeping Calm, and your foundation that you founded is called the Calm Foundation. What is it about this concept of being calm and cultivating serenity and focus of the mind that is so important?
I think I can probably describe it best by the story of how I learned to walk, because that is really where it all stems from. You know, when I was standing at the end of the parallel bars, because I had to now on this practice leg of mine, and you've got to remember I'd been about 5 or 6 months totally immobile, so all my muscles were gone. I had no abductors, my legs, my core muscles were gone. I was, you know, my head was pounding 24/7. My back was in agony. I had extreme vertigo, this debilitating fear of falling. I was just listless and no energy. And I'm standing at the end of this bar, and they say, I've got to walk out of the parallel bars. And it was just too much. My fight or flight just went completely crazy. And I thought what I had to do is I had to just find something that's funny, that I can laugh about in order to relax me, to take that first step. And what I actually tapped into was that I thought, well, here I was, a 30-year-old man, with a carpet floor, and I'm scared of falling. That's actually ridiculous. So the last thing I felt like doing was laughing, but it was kind of amusing. I took one step. It allowed me to take a step. So it was like it's not a calm, it's a relaxed. So I felt relaxed, and I fell because I'm relaxed and floppy, and I fell. And I tried this about 10 times. Take one step forward. Take one step forward. So, okay, there's something else I'm missing here. And then I thought about a mountain climbing incident, and that's all in the book. Yeah. But what it boils down to is that you also got to be single-minded, and single-minded down to the T. Your brain, your sort of your head must only have one instruction to your mammalian brain, because it's actually your mammalian brain that's doing the walking, but it needs an instruction from your primate brain. And it only had to be one instruction, and that one instruction was walk. It's not don't fall, because that's two instructions. And you can imagine I was terrified of falling, so my head just kept saying, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall. And then one part of my brain saying, okay, walk. But now the overriding message is don't fall. And your mammalian brain doesn't know what it means not to fall. It can't relate to that. It only knows how to walk. And once I got that right, I said, okay, one instruction, walk. And once I did that, just telling my body to walk, and I stopped thinking of not falling, it was amazing. It just like a switch in my brain. And I promise you, I walked about 15 paces. And the only reason I fell was because while I was walking, I just heard all of a sudden the whole room, which is normally just a big physio room, it's like buzzing and people talking. All of a sudden, it's like a deathly quiet. And I thought, what's going on? So I looked up to see what was going on. And as I looked up, every single eye in that whole room was looking straight at me. And I immediately fell. It was just like, wow.
Lost that focus.
Because it was just because now there's more instructions coming in. And but I fell down. I sat on the floor. And I promise you, I just felt this warm feeling rising up inside me. I thought, that's it. This is exactly what I must do in order to walk right around the physio room. And it took me a whole month to do that, but I walked right around the physio room. And it's just because I had that single-minded focus. So it had like a calm heart and a single-minded focus. So that's sort of a being in the zone kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the best way I can explain to your, to get back to that thing about having a calm heart. Because when you have one instruction, your heart will be calm. If you've got two instructions, your heart doesn't know what's going on. So your mammalian brain starts freaking out. If you've got 10 instructions, you can forget about it. Then your heart will just start panicking. Your mammalian brain will be out of sync. So that's really the key, is to only give one instruction at a time. And then you'll have a calm heart.
Yeah. We're talking to Dr. Laurie Rauch about his book, Keeping Calm, How to Master Your Brain Reward System to Optimize Your Health, Well-being and Performance. I believe we've got a voice note that has come in response to the comments about calm and relaxation. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, Pippa, to your guest. It is so important that you do keep calm and that your mind is so strong. I do have the saying, if your mind can believe it, your body will achieve it. And this is a fact. I've been through 2-3 operations myself, and the calmness is what pulled me through. So yes, great of him to have such an attitude towards what is transpiring. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Sean, for that comment. Laurie, I mean, it's one thing to say you've got to learn to focus the mind and stay calm, but it is a skill that some of us need more work at than others, particularly in the world we inhabit today when there are distractions all around us and when the whole world and the workplace and the pace of life is drive, 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 go, 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 full speed, full throttle. Is this a skill that can be acquired? And if so, how do you believe it can be acquired?
It's definitely a skill, but it's also more than a skill. It's actually, you've got to regain your brain reward system. And that's actually what the book is about, because if you think today everything is instant gratification, online everything is like a hit, and whatever you do, we want that instant gratification, and that instant gratification makes our heart feel calm. So that's, your mammalian brain can relate to that. So that's what I'm talking about, the here and now perspective of your mammalian brain, which is the heart in the equation. It feels comforted by you being gratified. Just purely by focusing on that instant gratification, your whole brain reward system adapts to instant gratification. So I'm talking about all the receptors and the neurotransmitters in your brain. Now, there's hundreds of these, not hundreds maybe, but there's lots and lots of them. So the main ones are your dopamine, serotonin, catecholamines, cholinergic reactions. So there's 3 or 4 main neurotransmitters in your brain that you've got to bring back to its natural setting. And you can only do that with a bottoms-up technique. You can't do it top-down. And that's why all my research showed the importance of what I call moving from the spine. But I'm probably talking too much here. I have a tendency to overcomplicate things.
No, I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. And the movement from the spine is something we'll have to leave the readers, the audience, to read for themselves in the book, because we haven't got time to talk in depth about what that entails. Suffice to say, it's become part and practice of your daily ritual, and that those physical moments of focus and mindfulness, I think a lot of people will draw parallels to what you're talking about here into their own practice of mindfulness, that are fundamental to your ability to live life to the fullest in the way that you want to. Laurie, quite a number of people are asking on our email and SMS line about the driver of that vehicle and how you feel towards him all these years later. It's more than 20 years now since your accident. You write in the book elaborately about how letting go of your anger towards that driver was something you had to do in order to move forward with your recovery. How do you feel about David, that truck driver, today?
Yes, that's a good question, because that's actually my number one thing I had to do. And I've got 5 steps to reclaiming your life. And the number one step I've got is to release the rage inside at the injustices of what others may have done to you. And that was really what stopped me, because I wanted to start my PhD again, but I had this loop in my head that, why must I do all this stuff I'm doing now, all this extra effort because of David? And eventually, every single thing I did in my life was just through the filter of what David had done to me. And I realized that was hampering me. So my head could realize that, but my heart couldn't release it, because it was comforting to my heart to know that it wasn't my fault. All this stuff that happened to me is not my fault. So that comfort, I had to find a way of saying, this comfort's got to be, you can't have this comfort of blaming David. You've got to remove it. And the only way I could do that is forgiveness. I had to get to a point where I said, David, what you've done to me is going to make you feel much worse than it'll ever make me feel, because the guilt in your heart must be much, much, a much bigger burden than my burden. So that's almost like, that was the first step, and it was tough. But I remember to this day, it was in March 1998, and I was on antidepressants, and I went to my psychiatrist and said, you can't come off it now because you know, once you come off it, you've got to take another 6 months. But then I went to another psychiatrist, and I spoke to her, and I explained what happened. And she said, no, I can see your recovery is imminent, so you can come off straight away. So it was that powerful that a psychiatrist could see that my life was back on track, and purely on that one step I took to forgive David. That changed everything, because then I went back to my PhD, I finished my PhD, and it was set me on the road to recovery. So that it's very important. To this day, I feel sorry for David. I know you got a two-year prison sentence. I'd sit in court behind him, and when he was sentenced or at the court to say what he did to me, I felt at that time I was completely outraged at what he did. But when I released that outrage, it set me free to start on my journey. So it is a very important thing to actually like get out of your system.
Laurie, I want to thank you for joining us today to talk about this fascinating research and this fascinating story of your own journey. Final question before we must go to news. If listeners would like to read your book and read more in depth about the chemical processes and the neurotransmitters and the kind of movement you talk about, which is so important to that calm and focus, how do they get hold of a copy?
Well, they can go onto Amazon. It's available in a Kindle version. Keeping Calm, this with my name, or they can go to my website and they can contact me that way. It's www.keepingcalm.co. So it's .co, not com.
Keepingcalm.co, not .za,
yeah.
Just .za,
no, just .co, yeah.
Okay.
All one word.
www.keepingcalm.co. We've been in conversation with Dr. Laurie Rach. Lovely to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
All the best to you.